Hey, members, we're going to start the K-12 Finance Committee, so, yeah, we have a quorum now. So I'm looking for a motion to approve the minutes of the Thursday, March 12th meeting. Representative Biskins, have you looked at the minutes?
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Are there any discussions regarding the minutes? Hearing none, now those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion fails, the minutes for March 12th are approved. Members, there's a few things in your materials today. There's a list of the bonding projects that we identified that are being presented at the Capital Investment Division. Second, there's some materials related to the fund transfers that we're going to hear about today. And Mr. Strom is going to give us a short background on those as soon as we make sure that we say Happy St. Patrick's Day to everybody here, to all you Irish folks. So, Mr. Strom, take away, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of items in your packet to help with today's discussion. The first of those is two pages from the school finance guidebook that explains a little about school district accounts. School districts in Minnesota since the 1970s have been required to use an accounting system referred to by its acronym UFARS, which stands for the Uniform Financial Accounting and Reporting Standards. UFARS dictates a variety of issues related to the coding of school transactions and also sets up a fund structure for school districts to use. On the first page of that handout, you can see those funds listed. School districts are required to have at least three operating funds: the general fund, the food service fund, and the community service fund. And then school districts generally have at least three non-operating funds: a building construction fund, a debt redemption fund, and a trust and sometimes trust and agency fund. In general, for the operating funds, as the name implies, those are for things that the district is doing on a personnel side. The general fund is the largest of those. Food service fund is rather tightly regulated and is used just for the food service purchases. The community service fund is a separate fund and statutorily regulated, not as governed as things like the food service fund by other issues. The building construction is the fund that districts use when they're building a school. When they sell the bonds to build a new school, they'll put the bond proceeds in that fund and then pay those out to the contractors working on the project. So that fund usually doesn't have a balance in it for most districts. The debt redemption fund is the fund where school districts put the money that they raise from the local property taxes in order to repay the bond holders. And that fund is a special fund governed not just by the school code, but also by the Uniform Municipal Code in Chapter 475. Then trust and agency funds are essentially funds where school districts hold money for others. So, Mr. Chair, that's a quick summary of the funds. There's also a bit of a discussion on the back page regarding the transfers out of those funds that are authorized by statute. And then there's two pages following that that show the fund transfers that have been authorized by the legislature since 1996. And those fund transfers have been grouped by category, and there's a graph of those, and then a separate sheet listing each of the fund transfers that have been legislatively approved. So in a nutshell, Mr. Chair, that's a summary of the procedures that govern fund transfers.
Very good. Mr. Strom, any questions, members? Representative Biskin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Strom, when you use, and I'm looking at the fund transfer authorization history sheet, when you use the term capital accounts, which fund are you talking about?
Mr. Chair, Representative Biskin, in 1995, the legislature eliminated the separate capital fund and instead created that as a reserved account within the general fund. Here at the legislature, when we talk about capital account transfers, we still use the terminology fund transfer, but it's really a reserve or a restriction on the capital account. It's not in a separate fund anymore, but it's a statutory reserve for capital money. So the capital account is located within the general fund. It's a reserved account within the general fund.
Representative Biskin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Francis, is that also true for the cooperative services, the disability access, and some of these other accounts that are in this spreadsheet?
Mr. Chair, Representative Biskins, the disability access account is another capital account that's now located in the general fund, and again, it's an account, not a fund. It's the same issue where the statute has a reserve on that money so that the account is reserved. The other ones on the list, the community education fund is a separate fund, and the debt redemption fund is a separate fund, and those will be some of the ones we'll be hearing from today. The debt redemption fund has been a separate fund for a number of years, as has the community service fund.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Members, we have four transfer fund bills, and then another bill after that. So we have five total bills today. We're going to move through the four transfer fund bills in less than about a 55-minute time, say about half an hour for the last one, just to let you know what the itinerary and timeline is for today. Any questions on that? All right, Representative Falk, you are up with your first bill. Representative Falk, welcome to the committee. And you've already been asked, Representative Falk. This is your first time, correct? You've already...
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for allowing me to be here. This is not my first time. My first time I was here was last week, and I proceeded to receive a little hazing about failure to bring milk and cookies.
Very good. Representative Falk, would you like somebody else to move your bill, or I'll move your bill for possible inclusion in the Omnibus K-12 bill? Did you ask anybody to move here?
I have. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have not asked anybody
okay,
to move.
Okay, so I will move House File 55, be moved for possible inclusion in the Omnibus K-12 finance bill. Representative Falk, do you want to go ahead and swing your bill, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to offer request one oral amendment, if that would be to the committee's pleasure.
On go ahead.
1.8, delete 200,000 and replace it with 220,000. This is to help line it up with what the district is requesting.
Okay. So, members, we in line 1.8. Representative Falk, you're going from 200,000 to 250,000, so
220.
220, excuse me, I'm sorry. May permanently transfer up to 220,000 from its debt redemption. Is that correct, Representative Falk?
That is correct. Thank you.
So I will move that oral amendment. Are there any questions, comments? All in favor of that? No,
we don't.
Yeah, all in favor, aye. Say aye, please.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Okay. Mr. Falk, the bill is now in how you would like it, so you want to describe the bill, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have brought along Superintendent of Black Belt School District, Brad Madsen, and I would offer him the opportunity to testify on behalf of this bill.
Superintendent Madsen, welcome to the committee, and if you'll please... introduce yourself for the tape, and then speak to the chair as we go into testimony.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. My name is Brad Madsen, and I am the school superintendent at Lackawanna Valley Schools. I'm also the superintendent at Dawson Boyd Schools, a smaller neighbor. I've been a school superintendent for 26 years now, and I want to tell you it was a pleasure driving in today. Usually it's a it's a long haul to come 3.5 hours, but it was a very nice drive, and I want to remind you that it was only a week ago that we had a blinding blizzard in western Minnesota, and there were no schools open at that time. Anyway, this is our bill at Lackawanna Valley, what used to be called at once was called affectionately the Cornfield School, because it is a conglomeration of Appleton, Milan, Madison, Marietta, Nassau, five small school districts way out on the west coast of Minnesota. This school was built 20 years ago, and the taxpayers agreed to fund this bond, and over the 20 years of its history have been very faithful in their taxes. And as you know how these things work, the school district is allowed to levy an additional 5% each year. And so what we have in reserve or in excess here at the end of 20 years is this $220,000. Our case for wanting to transfer that is our building now is 20 years old. Our existing elementaries, one in Appleton and one in Madison, are much, much older than that, and our capital needs are many. Roof, parking lot, textbooks, and a wide variety of capital needs exist in our district. and that's why we're requesting the transfer this year. That's the long and short of it, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Superintendent Messon. Members, any questions, comments? Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. You mentioned that the school is 20 years old. How much longer till that the original bond is paid off?
Representative
Anderson.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair and Representative, the bond was paid off February 1st. The last payment was made of this year, February 1.
Representative Anderson. Anybody else? Members? Representative Duffy.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I just want to make sure that I'm clear on this. I know that schools that were authorized before 2005, which was either 20 years ago, need to, right now under current law, as far as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, they need to put their money back in and then get another referendum on that if they need more money for other things. Any schools that were authorized on July 2005 and thereafter can put the additional money into other funds. So, how does your community feel about you using this money to now for the repair of your buildings rather than having it returned to the community?
Mr. Chair and Representative, I have not been at Lack of Power long enough to know it's been 8 months, but I can tell you that the taxpayers in Western Minnesota take great pride in their schools and in their buildings. They want them to serve their students well. We talk about this issue at our board meetings. We have had no opposition to the notion, but this will be money well spent for the betterment of our facilities.
I just want to make some clarification. Would it be all right for Mr. Strom to comment on the law so that I make sure that I understand it? Did I say it correctly?
Absolutely. Mr. Strom?
Mr. Chair, Representative Jepson, yes, in the 2005 education bill, that language was added that said a district that passes a bond issue essentially after that point in time when that bond issue runs, when the bondholders are all repaid, that money then is available to the district for any purpose. But any district with an outstanding bond issue that was issued prior to then needs to reduce its general ed levies with any surplus in the debt redemption fund.
Representative Jepson? Yes, I just want to ask Representative Falk. So what we are doing is we're asking for a special permission to the law for this particular school district. Is that correct?
Representative Falk?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Jepson, that is correct. We are trying to help the school district free up some monies, and our schools in Western Minnesota, they are looking for some flexibility in ways that they can continue to maintain and operate. And this is one way that has been requested to really alleviate some headaches. And I, once again, Superintendent Madsen can speak further to those issues.
Thank you very much. I just don't know whether do we know how many other schools are in this situation that might be asking the same questions?
Well, I would say that there's four of them currently on the agenda today, which I feel that this would be a means that they could help free up some money without having a real fiscal impact to the state, and the local property taxpayers, they want to see their school district succeed, and so I don't think we're asking too much to allow for these transfers.
And Representative Dempsey, I think that
thank you, Ben.
And I think that as Mr. Strom indicated earlier, we have a sheet of schools that have requested that from 1999, I think, and on. Representative Denner.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Along the same lines as Representative Detke's, my understanding then, if the bonds are paid off, that is this basically emptying out the account then that's not being utilized any longer? There's no more funds going into it, is that right? And is the debt paid off and there's no other debt that we need to have the debt redemption fund for? Is that correct?
Superintendent Madsen?
Mr. Chair and Representative, that's right. These are taxes that have been paid over the 20 years with that excess. The bond is paid off. There's nothing else to be paid off as far as just the building bond, this GO bond that was offered or initiated 20 years ago. So this is sitting in our fund, Matt Lentz's, and I've been down here two or three times over the many years asking for these. Some years, none of them are approved. It depends on the climate of you know, the financial climate and across the state, but some of them, here's none of them are approved. Sometimes you're fortunate to get one in. The climate seems to be a little bit more favorable this year. We're down here asking that we are able to transfer to the capital fund.
Thank you. That was my last question. This is going to the capital fund. This is going to be used for capital expenditures. This is not going toward operations.
Mr. Chair and Representative, that's right. Capital fund.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. And not to belabor the point, but if you believe in local control, if you believe that school superintendents and locally elected boards of education together with esteemed legislators like Representative Falk, I think they can make these decisions, and I would urge the committee to just move these forward and allow local control to prevail. However, and my only editorial comment here is we're likely to see more of these because of the rapidly deteriorating situation we have with public education in Minnesota, and let's not take tools away from local boards of education to manage their own districts.
And members, just a reminder that these are all going to be laid over for possible inclusion, so just to remind you on that. Any other questions from members? Is there anybody from the public that would like to testify on this bill? Seeing none now. Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for staff here. Are there any funds that schools have that are, you cannot transfer, say, into the general fund, or are there any funds that they can't touch? Let's say if they have a big balance in a certain fund, is there any are there any that they cannot transfer?
Mr. Strom?
Mr. Chair, Representative Detmer, the accounting system that school districts use, the UFAR system, has been adopted by state law, and state law is generally controlling on those funds. However, there are some requirements, like with the food service, where there are federal rules as well. But generally speaking, it's a matter of state law. And state law prohibits a transfer from a non-operating to an operating fund. So without an exception to state law, a school district is unable to transfer for those bonds that were issued prior to 2005, is unable to transfer the money from that non-operating fund to an operating fund.
Mr. Chairman,
so
if I hear you right, like there's like food service because of the federal dollars, that's a no-no. Okay.
Yes,
that's correct. The food services are specialized one because of the federal rules on this.
Members, any other discussion on this bill? All right. Thank you. And Representative Falk, we will lay this bill, House File 55, over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus K-12 Finance Bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Representative Falk, you have also House File 1117. So would you care to address that bill at this time?
I would.
Matter of fact, Representative Falk, do you have anybody to move that? Have you asked anybody?
I have not, Mr. Chair.
Representative Falk, I will then move the bill for consideration and to be laid over for possible inclusion in the K-12. Representative Falk, you want to proceed and tell us about your bill?
I would, Mr. Chair. I would also
introduce your testifier to us.
Offer one technical change, oral amendments. I do apologize for this, but this is to help it line up with the Senate language. On line 1.8, after the word for, please add operating. And on line 1.9, strike the words in the general fund.
Representative Falk, would you please repeat that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On lines 1.8, after the word for, please add operating, the word operating. On lines 1.9, please strike the words in the general fund.
So Representative Falk, it reads from 1.8 to 1.9, may permanently transfer up to $200,000 from its debt redemption fund to its reserve for operating capital account without making a levy reduction.
That is correct.
Members, did you get that, or do you want me to do it one more time? All right, seeing no questions, I'll move that amendment, that oral amendment. Okay, Mr. Strom?
Representative Garofalo, the name of the fund is the Reserve for Capital, operating capital account. It's a terrible situation with words, and we blame the Senate for this. When the Senate eliminated the capital fund, they decided to name the fund that would be as an account in the general fund as the operating capital account, even though for most people the words operating and capital shouldn't be next to each other. So the reserve for operating capital accounts makes technical sense, or it makes grammatical sense, because the name of that account is operating capital account. But from an accountant standpoint, you wouldn't be talking about an operating capital account because they're separate things.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. I'm going to read that one more time, members, on 1.8. And Mr. Strom, make sure that I have read it and have it down right. Permanently transfer up to $200,000 from its debt redemption fund to its reserve for operating capital account without making a levy reduction. Mr. Strom, is that correct? Any other questions or comments? I'll move that oral amendment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Mr. Chair, I just offer one comment. Perhaps Representative Garofalo and I would like to offer a remedial English class for the Senate.
Representative Falk, okay. Representative Falk, do you want to go ahead and speak to your House File 1117?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would. I've also brought Superintendent Jeff Taylor from the Independent School District, Ortonville, and he can speak to the request.
Welcome, Mr. Taylor, for the tape. Would you please introduce yourself and go to the chair for any comments or questions?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Taylor, Superintendent of Schools of the Ortonville School District. Been in Ortonville for 11 years now.
Mr. Taylor, I really like your blazer today. I just want you to know that.
Yes.
Very sharp.
Yes.
Very sharp.
We're requesting this transfer because of a consolidation with the Bellingham School District. We are right in the middle of that consolidation. The voters of both districts passed it last September, and so we're working through the process right now of trying to work with our union in regards to early retirement severance packages, putting that in place, hopefully trying to keep all staff employed that want to be employed. So in doing so, the dollars that we receive for transition revenue to make this transition, we receive $200 in the first year of consolidation, $100 in the second. Nowhere's come close to deal with the dollars it's costing us now to do this consolidation. One of the reasons for the request is we're going to need to be adding a bus route, hiring three additional staff, and by putting this money into the operating capital fund, it would allow the district to purchase a bus to continue providing good, safe transportation to the students in the Bellingham district, which are up to probably somewhere close to 20-25 miles away from Ortonville at that time. So without putting a lot of burden on the district, this will allow us to make that transition and do those types of things in this consolidation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Superintendent Taylor. Members, any questions? Representative Garofalo?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Crow or Mr. Strom, can you tell me the funds that are in this, the dollars that are in the debt redemption fund, would this be where debt service equalization dollars would flow to?
Mr. Strom?
Mr. Chair, Representative Garofalo, yes.
And
Representative Garofalo?
Mr. Chairman and other the testifiers, do you know if the Ortonville School District qualified for debt service equalization dollars on this bond issue? Those are all local dollars?
Superintendent Taylor?
Mr. Chair, Representative, at the beginning of the bond issue, I believe the district did qualify for equalization, but that has been slowly reduced, and I believe at this point in time, we are no longer receiving equalization dollars.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions, members? Representative Devin?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the question to the last the superintendent, too, where are you at in terms of the debt redemption on this particular project? How far in are you? And the last one, they were done. They were paid up, and this was left over. Are you done also, or partway through the process?
Superintendent Taylor?
Mr. Chair, Representative, we are not done with ours. We are in the 11th year of our repayment schedule, and so we still have 9 years to go on that payment schedule.
Representative Gemmer?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, you know, what would this, what status would this leave the fund? You know, the purpose, I think, of 105% of the levy is to have funds in place in case there's something comes up that you need to be able to guarantee those. Will there still be sufficient dollars in there? Does that affect credit ratings, bond ratings, or whatever? You know, I mean, does it empty the fund? Does it leave half of it yet? I guess I don't know where we're at with that. But that would be something we would probably want to take into consideration, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Superintendent, if you'd like to, sorry, I can't remember your last name, but if you'd answer that, I'd appreciate it.
Superintendent Taylor?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, Representative. At this point in time, we have approximately $248,000 in the fund. Our board has asked to transfer up to $200,000. They may or may not use it all. Their main intent is to make sure that we can purchase a bus. I'll give you an example. 3 years ago, we leased 3 buses. At that time, those buses were costing us $62,000. That same bus this year will cost over $80,000. And so it's just a matter of trying to access revenue that we might be able to, you know, make this transition with this consolidation a little bit smoother without taking the fund balance down to, you know, try to keep the fund balance, you know, so at least we feel comfortable in operating and things. So.
Any other questions, members? Is there anybody from the public that would like to testify on House File 1117? Seeing none, no further discussion. There is a fault. This bill will be laid over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus K-12 bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Superintendent, for coming all our way and for dressing so sharply today. Representative Biner, your testifiers are here, so we're okay to move. Representative Biner, do you have anybody that you have asked to move? Okay, I will move that House File 795 be laid over to possible inclusion in the K-12 finance bill. Representative Biner, if you'd like to introduce your testifier. Do you have any amendments on this bill, Senator Biner?
No, I do not, Mr. Chair.
You want to proceed with the bill? And your testifier, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, it's a little late to say top of the morning to you, so I'll just say good day to all the Irish and the would-be Irish in your midst. So,
thank you, Representative.
Happy St. Patty's Day.
You as well.
A few comments before I introduce our superintendent. This bill proposes a transfer of $500,000 from ISD 77's debt redemption fund to its general fund. Mankato Superintendent Ed Waltman is here with us today to speak to the proposal. But before Mr. Waltman testifies, I would like to make a few preliminary remarks about the Mankato School District, particularly its governance and accountability. Mankato is a very high-functioning district and has received several awards over the past decade. In particular, the school board has been recognized for its standards-based governance by the Minnesota School Board Association, and our district has received the School Finance Award from the Minnesota Department of Education every single year since its inception 7 years ago, one of only 2 districts in the state to do so. I share this not by way of bragging rights, although I'm happy to brag about my school anytime, but rather to note the level of serious and close attention that all matters, particularly those of financial accountability, receive in our district. We recognize that this type of transfer is rarely approved. We ask you to consider both our record and our circumstance as you evaluate our request. With that, Mr. Waltman.
Mr. Waltman, would you please introduce yourself to the tape and just go to the chair for all kind of comments or questions.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Ed Waltman, Superintendent of Mankato Area Public Schools. On behalf of our school board and our legislative committee, which consists of parents, students, and educators, I'm very pleased to come before you today to testify before House File 795. As Representative Breiter informed you, we're asking an exception to the 2005 law to transfer $500,000 from our debt service fund to our general operating fund in order to ensure that we'll be able to open up our new elementary school in Mankato in September of 2010. I've been with the Mankato School District 35 years. This is the first time that I've come before you to request a transfer. As you know, as well as I do, this is a very unique time. The economic turmoil is one that none of us have ever seen before, and I hope we never see again. But we're asking a special permission to permit this transfer and look through a different lens. That's what we're going to have to do to get through these difficult times. This is kind of our own economic stimulus bill. If you give us this authority to open this school and provide 10 new jobs in the Mankato School District. The last elementary school we built was in 1966. We are one of the few school districts that have three buildings that are still operating that were built in the 1920s. We've been very conservative in our approach, and of course, obviously, we're very excited about this new building. Our enrollment is growing. That's a great problem. We plan to use the additional revenue that we'll receive by these additional students to fund the money needed for our teachers and our paraprofessionals and school supplies to open the school in 2010. Even though we're going to grow by 500 students, obviously when we open up the building, and this is a problem that many schools run into when they open a new school, there'll be another 2 or 3 years before the full 500 students come to our school district. So what we see right now with the economic downturn and the difficulties that you're going to have to provide us with continued funding, we want to have the option to be able to open this school by making this transfer from the debt fund to the general fund. Our debt fund is in very good condition because of the 5% overage that we're allowed to levy, and we have very low delinquencies, plus the short-term investments that we make. We have $1 million balance. We're requesting $500,000 of that balance. We request that the other $500,000 stay there to protect the bondholders. With that, I think you have a copy of our statistics. You have a copy of the items that we wish to fund, the fuel, electric costs, the principal, the fixed costs, we call them, of opening a new building. So with that, on behalf of our school district, I thank you for this opportunity, and we hope that you will look favorably on this request.
Thank you, Superintendent Waltman. Members, Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman and Superintendent. Would this have any put any problems on the district for paying back your debt service payments?
Mr. Chairman, committee member, we do not believe that it will, based on our past history. We have not seen delinquencies. The $500,000 we have in reserve should allow us to do that. Actually, our debt load is fairly low for a district our size. The most recent referendum, which was approved last April, was for $37 million. Our total debt is $50 million. We operate 16 different school facilities, so the vast majority of our buildings are paid off.
Mr. Groffman?
Mr. Chairman, same question as the previous one. Do you know if the South School District qualified for debt service equalization funds when these were issued?
Superintendent Waltman?
Mr. Chairman, representatives, Mankato Area Public Schools does not qualify for debt equalization money.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Groffman?
At any time, did you qualify for them when the bonds were being issued?
Superintendent Waltman?
Mr. Chairman, representative, we've never qualified for debt redemption. State aid. We'd sure like to.
Yes. Members, any other questions? Representative Demmer?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, this is a little bit of a different standard, and I've been here for 6 years now. We've had lots of requests for NWA general funds, and I ask this question about every time somebody comes up. Generally speaking, I say this is one-time money going in for general fund purposes. What are you going to do next year? That's generally my question. You've already answered that, quite frankly, Superintendent Waltman, because you have a plan for increased enrollment. So a little different version of the question. When you built the school, you knew these expenses would be in place at that time. What was the plan then? Was it always to ask for this transfer to be able to satisfy this cash flow need? Or did something happen to cause you to not be able to put the plan in place that you originally had without this transfer to cover these costs? That's my first question.
Superintendent Waltman?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that's an excellent question. Our plan was to use our reserve. As Representative Reinert stated, our district has followed model policies in terms of maintaining adequate resources in all of our funds. What's happened to us over the past year was first, we are a regional center. We have high special education costs, and the proration of special education aid has impacted our general fund. And the other thing is, quite frankly, is we're concerned about the ability to even hold us at zero in terms of funding in this current legislative biennium. So we want to be prepared. We have a great relationship with our taxpayers in the Mankato Area School District. In fact, we've passed 9 referendums in the last 13 years. We had one failure. The relationship that we have, we ask for what we need, and we've done that. I know the previous speaker, someone asked, how does the community respond to your proposal? I have headlines here that about when we went through the Senate with this proposal about this this initiative to provide funding. I've gotten nothing but positive feedback from our community. They feel that we need to look at different lenses too. This would result if we rebated it back to the taxpayers in a rebate on an average house of about $10 a year. In terms of what it'll do for our community, that's a very small investment.
Representative Demmer?
Well, thank you, Superintendent Waltman. Well, as a quick follow-up on that question then, so in other words, you had additional costs for special ed that you didn't count on to cut kind of a shortfall, or did you say that you've always planned on coming and asking for this transfer to cover the expenditures? I missed that.
Superintendent Waltman?
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I'm sorry I didn't ask that question. I should have. We had no intention of coming to ask you for a transfer. Actually, our fund balance was slightly above our one-month operating amount, and over the past year, because of special education prorations and additional special ed requirements, our fund balance has dropped by $1 million, so we're below. In addition to that, I'll reiterate, we have a relationship with our community. If we get adequate funding for these next 2 years to be able to get our reserve back up to where it was, we want permission for this transfer. We will not invoke it if we have the resources.
Thank you. President Demmer?
Thank you, Mr. Chan. One further question. Negotiations. Have you started negotiations with your teachers? Have you settled yet? And where are you at with that process?
Superintendent Waltman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, we've had one meeting with our teachers in negotiation. We did present, and Representative Reiner can vouch to this, that our legislative committee has taken the position that we would like a freeze in all public employees' wages for the next 2 years. That will be our approach to negotiations if we have to do it individually, but as you all know, under the current statute, we're required to operate and negotiate in good faith under the Public Employees Labor Relations Act, and we will do so. But we did request that the legislature consider a freeze in all public employees' wages over the next 2 years.
Superintendent Waltman, what is the demo?
I was just going to say, I think the language said that if this is approved, that these funds would become available day after enactment. If I'm not mistaken, Mr. Crowe, I think this goes to the general fund. Those would be dollars, theoretically, could be used for salaries. Is that correct?
Mr. Crowe?
Mr. Chair, Representative,
If I could, I just make...
Representative Demmer?
This is $500,000 that would now be in the mix for negotiation. How can you make the promise, if you will, that this will go toward the expenditures you said and not toward... That get used up in negotiations, and now you're sitting in the same position again.
Superintendent Waltman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, that's an excellent question. I haven't thought about that. I would most gladly support an amendment that would reserve that $500,000 in the general fund only for this purpose if we made that transfer. And I don't know if Mr. Strom can tell us if that's possible or not, but certainly I'd be concerned about that too, even though we have a great relationship with our teachers as well, and I think they'd understand that's what it was for.
Representative Enzo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm very, very supportive of what you're trying to do here. But I would caution you to ask the legislature to do your job in terms of collectively bargaining with those great loyal teachers that you have. So I would encourage you to just bargain in good faith, and the legislature does its job and your Board of Education should do its.
Any other, Superintendent Waltman, one question I had is, I thought I heard you say that you have passed 9 out of the last 13 operating levy referendums. Is that correct, Superintendent?
Mr. Chairman, they're a combination of referendums. One
okay.
Technology referendum, 3 bond referendums. We go for smaller bond amounts to fix roofs, tuck pointing mats. Bond referendums are the 4 to 5 million range. Our community told us back in 1991 when we had our last big referendum for this one, they'd rather see us come every 5 years with small ones rather than do large ones every 15 years.
But it's been 9 out of 13 have been successful?
Yes.
You have a magic formula, Superintendent Waldman, or what?
Mr. Chairman, there's no magic formula.
Yeah, I understand.
Look how tired I look.
I understand, Superintendent. Thank you. Well, I'm sure that Representative Tilbury really appreciates your expenditure. I see there's a guidance counselor thing in there, Representative Tilbury, in case you didn't see that. Any members, any other questions? Any other member, comments, questions, members? Public? Hearing none, I will renew my motion to move House File 795 to be included, consideration for possible inclusion in the Omnibus K-12 Finance Bill. Thank you, Representative Briner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Superintendent, thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members.
Representative Lane. Representative Lane and Chuck Fires, welcome to the K-12 Finance Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Lane, have you asked anybody to move your bill at all?
No, I have not.
Representative Lane, then I will move House File. Do you have any amendments, Representative Lane? I will move House File 719 to be considered for the available possible inclusion in the K-12 Finance Bill. Representative Lane, if you want to go ahead and address your bill.
Thank you, Mr.
And introduce your testifiers.
Right. This bill will authorize the St. Anthony New Brighton School District to permanently transfer $400,000 from a little bit different than the last three bills. It's from the reserved operating capital account to the undesignated general fund balance. And, of course, there's no fiscal impact, and I think it's a little bit smoother process than even the previous bills you've been hearing. And I'll have Superintendent Rod Thompson give you further information.
Superintendent Thompson, welcome, and if you could identify yourself for the record, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Rod Thompson, Superintendent at St. Anthony New Brighton. On a small district of about 1,725 students on the first ring of Minneapolis on the northeast side. We're coming to you today because we would like to have the ability to create a safety net in a very fiscally responsible school district. And what we're hoping to do, as Representative Lane mentioned, we had prepared for Plan B had our recent referendum not passed. One of our questions did pass, and our taxpayers allowed us the opportunity to take care of a lot of our deferred maintenance issues that we have in our district. And in doing so, we had some reserve capital set aside in the fact if in the case we needed to have a Plan B. Plan B now looks like our district needs to have a safety net in place should legislative funds not come through in a hope that we would have good fiscal practices in place that allow us to keep a general fund that would, in a small district, keep us out of a statutory operating debt situation. And so we are asking for the ability to go from capital that was set aside for deferred maintenance that was taken care of by our referendum that was passed by the taxpayers up to $400,000. And in doing so, that would allow us to protect our financial situation in our district. And as some of the other previous superintendents have mentioned, it is an up to $400,000 because we do want to have, as we are setting our budgets now for next year, we do have to notify our teaching staff and so on, other staff members, if their jobs are not in place. And so these funds would allow us to perhaps create a budget that humanely deals with a lot of staff who are rather anxious on the results of what's happening in both the House and Senate. And Mr. Chair, I also brought along my business manager, Kristen Hoheisel, should you have any questions pertaining to strictly budget or any requirements of budget transfers.
Welcome, Mr. Hoheisel, as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kristen Hoheisel, Director of Business Services for the St. Anthony Brighton School District.
Mr. Hoheisel, did you want to add anything to Superintendent Thompson's testimony?
Yes, I would. Typically, I don't, but in this case, I think I should. Currently, our general fund balance, we maintain approximately 10% in our fund balance reserve at this moment, unappropriated. And board policy is 8 to 10%. So I want to say that I believe we are very fiscally conservative. Part of that, it is my belief that the school board will opt to drop that number down. We probably won't be carrying 10% at the end of this given cycle. And so to afford us the opportunity to transfer operating capital would be a nice option. The way I view it is last legislative session, there was a bill that was available to school districts saying that you could do a one-time transfer if you stated that your needs were met. When we ran our referendum, it was a May vote. We were not in any position by June 30th to say, yes, our needs had been met. I can speak on behalf of Dr. Thompson in saying that with the question, although we were unable to pass, we had a series of questions and we were unable to pass all of them, we have what we need to have to say, yes, currently we can function for our capital purposes.
Thank you, Michael Harville. Members, any questions? Representative Depper.
Well, thank you, Mr.
Demmer. Excuse me, Representative Demmer.
There's something special about today. I'm getting hoarse here, all my talking. Mr. Superintendent, Superintendent Thompson, I've got to ask the same question again. I said that you probably heard me earlier. I've asked this question for 6 years. Capital money going to the operating account. What's the plan after this year? This is one-time money coming in. What's the plan to replace those funds with the programs and the salaries you'll be paying to carry forward? Will you be looking next year at Cliff, or would you have some plan to replace these dollars to keep things going?
Superintendent Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Representative. It would be my hope that this committee helps us obtain the funds necessary to operate at status quo, and that we would also get additional funds that would help us make up the gap for special education and the other kinds of things that we're dealing with in the school district. However, on St. Patrick's Day, I don't expect a pot of gold at the end of my rainbow. And so this is allowing us the opportunity to look at a budget that might see zero-zero coming from the state. If that's the case, then we have some tough decisions that we have to make currently. This allowing us to go up to 400,000, we come up with like three tiers of possibilities. We also expect that we might not hear the end result from all of you so perhaps this summer, and if that's the case, then we would have to implement a revised budget, and in that revised budget, we'll have several plans for how we will handle the situation. Maybe perhaps most important is the amount of pain inflicted on staff who get cut that otherwise wouldn't need to be cut if we were able to have up to 400,000 in the bank, you might say, then we're less dependent on what happens hopefully sooner than July.
Superintendent Thompson, thank you for your optimism, your pessimism, your reality. All of the above, Superintendent. Anything else, members? Oh, Representative Garofalo.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Representative Lane, would you like an amendment to your bill that says you can't use it for teachers' wage increases as well, or not?
Representative Lane.
No, thank you.
Members? Is there anybody in the public that would like to testify on House File 719? Any closing comments or remarks?
Let's go to fiscal control.
Representative Lane, thank you. I will move then that House File 719 be laid over to pass conclusion of the K-12 finance bill. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Members, we have one more bill before us today. Representative Narnas. And Superintendent Sedner, welcome to the committee, both of you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Narnas, do you have somebody to move your bill?
Look for a volunteer.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move House File 322. Is it for a possible inclusion, Representative Narnas?
Yes. I believe so.
Yes.
For a possible inclusion in the K-12 omnibus bill.
Representative Garofalo moves for House File 322 for possible inclusion in the K-12 finance bill. Representative Narnas, do you have any amendments to this bill?
No, I do not. I do have a handout. I see something else is being handed out. So if we can...
Okay, Representative Narnas, you are handing them out as we speak.
What I'm handing out here is just a listing of administrators in District 23, which is part of the state that I come from and also the Superintendent Center comes from, and all of them in unanimous support of our initiative here today. I wanted to point out one thing, Mr. Chair.
Representative Norris, go ahead. You're going to address the bill now then, correct?
You have a nice jacket.
Thank you, Representative Norris.
Yes.
You're awesome.
I'm the only one in the room that has a green watch.
Yeah.
Okay. Just, you know.
You're right on time, Representative Norris.
House File 322. Some of you have heard testimony before. It was in the K-12 Policy Committee and also was in the Government Operations Committee. But we'll try to kind of start here from the beginning. It's not a very long, complicated piece of legislation.
Go ahead, Representative Norris.
The district, the Fraser Berger School District, has struggled for at least 4 years prior to, or was it five?
7 years.
7 years. I stand corrected. To pass an excess levy referendum, and finally we're successful. And have now been operating in a more comfortable fashion since then. And Superintendent Stender has been there through most of those battles. And the battle isn't necessarily over after the vote is taken. And so there continues to be some efforts. And so this legislation addresses basically the requirements of voters to petition to overturn a vote on an excess levy referendum. Currently, the threshold of 15%, this legislation would change it to 30%, and that's basically all it does. I'd like to, at this time, have the superintendent kind of testify, tell you the rest of the story.
Superintendent Stender, welcome to the committee. It's nice to see you again, and would you please introduce yourself to the tape?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and representatives of the House K-12 Education Finance Committee. My name is Darren Stender, superintendent of the Fraser Berger School District. And Fraser is probably, to help you locate it, by Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, and closer to the western border, neighboring Fargo, about 70 miles away. And I'm here today to provide testimony in regards to issues surrounding referendums. As indicated earlier by Representative Norris, the Fraser Berger School District has been engaged in what will now be an eight-year battle with our citizens and in terms of a referendum. We have had four failed referendums. In 2007, on November 6th, we passed the referendum by 60% of the voters. Last summer, we were served a petition by the citizens of the Fraser Berger School District calling to revoke the full authority of the $1,000 per pupil unit referendum. Through several court proceedings, the district was able to stave off the petition based on the it wasn't clear enough or the clarity of the question that was presented to the people who were signing the petition. However, I know that these individuals in our community will be better prepared this summer, and I wouldn't be surprised if they're probably not already prepared. They're very active, they are very organized, and they are very vocal. I'm here today not just on behalf of the Fraser Berger School District. I'm here on behalf of the 314 school districts in the state of Minnesota that have an operating referendum. I'm here on behalf of the kids in those districts that depend upon the citizens in their communities to support them through the additional funds, and it's not that are necessary for operations, not the extras. There are roughly 930 students in the Fraser Berger School District that would be affected by this. And I think probably of great concern to me is not just the issue that would result in my district if the citizens in our district were successful in bringing this forward, but I think it would be the backlash across the state of Minnesota. I know of several neighboring school districts up and down Highway 10 that have passed referendums, that have had great difficulty in passing those referendums. And I would go without saying, other than maybe the Mankato School District, most school districts struggle to pass referendums. And I think any school district that's moving forward that has a referendum that is going to be sunsetting here is going to have some difficulties in trying to renew that. We're trying to keep the citizens' commitment. We're asking for them to keep the commitment to a five-year referendum. We're asking the citizens across the state of Minnesota to keep their commitment to the referendum that they've supported. And so the change in the legislation would be to raise the threshold from not just 15% of eligible voters to 30% of registered voters. And that's gonna again represent probably the people of the Fraser Valley School District and the many, many school districts that have passed referendums. Where can we allow 15% of the people to overrule 60% of the people who passed the referendum just 2 years ago? Where in legislature, in my studies, that I guess I am unable to find where we have these abilities where we let the minority control the majority. I'm all about people having their voice. I'm all about the rights, and I understand that. But I think there needs to be a threshold that probably represents the people and represents the interest of those communities that serve, where those people serve. Now, there is also a bill in the Senate, Senate File 314, which went through the Education Committee last Thursday. The bill at that point took a turn that was unexpected to me, and that bill is removing the language to revoke or reduce the petition. And also keep in mind, I'll be upfront with you, if this language goes through, it also means that it takes 30% of the people to call on the school board to go for a referendum. And I think that most school boards and superintendents use that as a tactic to determine what's the level of interest. How willing are people to go out there and fight? 2 years ago, after four failed referendums, we used that tactic in Frazee. We said, we are not going to go for a referendum. The people have indicated that they do not support this. And a group of people formed and organized a yes vote committee, or otherwise known as PACE, and they came forward with a petition. The first petition that served on the board in April was rejected. And the board said, we want 1,000 signatures, and I think they had about 300. And they came back again in June, and they had enough signatures on there. Keep in mind that at that point, the board knew that the petition that they were serving on us was not a valid petition. It was more of a gauge of what we wanted to have to determine how many people were out in the community willing to support this fight that we were fighting. However, the case in this regard of revoking a petition, they did serve pretty much a valid petition, other than a summary and a statement that didn't meet the criteria. This did go in front of the State Attorney General's office, which was handed back to the school district saying, that is your authority, it's up to you to make that decision whether you're going to accept or reject the petition. And so I'm here today to ask for your support in House File 322, raising the threshold from 15% of eligible voters to 30% of registered voters.
Thank you, Superintendent Stedner, and we do have some questions. Representative Van Zylk?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, and to the author and the superintendent. I'm really sympathetic to your plight. Secondly, again, it's symptomatic, especially in greater Minnesota, of our inadequate funding of public education. I feel very, very bad about that, Superintendent. Thirdly, I would wish that this were not before us specifically with regard to a referendum issue, but that we could evaluate it on a statewide basis in terms of the public interest. Because quite frankly, going from 15 to a 30% threshold does concern me somewhat, and concerns me in terms of how we as a democracy treat the minorities. My question is, I'm assuming your local Board of Education supports this. I'm assuming Education Minnesota at the local level supports this. What about the MSBA, the statewide organization of school boards?
Superintendent Stedman?
Mr. Chair, Representative, yes, this bill is supported by the Minnesota School Boards Association, the Minnesota Rural Education Association, the Minnesota Association of School Administrators, Parents United for Public Education, and the Association of Metro School Administrators are all supporting this bill. It has gone through the process of all their delegate assemblies and the process of their board of directors for review.
Good.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Superintendent. Members, any other questions? Is there anybody from the public that would like to testify on House File 322? Seeing none, Representative Garofalo will renew his motion to have House File 322 be considered for possible inclusion in the Omnibus K-12 Finance Bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Member.
Senator Glenn, what's that House File 2 again? Could you tell us?
Thank you very much, Chair Ward. New Minnesota Miracle.
Oh, that's okay. I just want to be clear on that. Members, any other business today before us?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Glenn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The staff has provided me with a written prioritization of our capital projects. You may remember at the last meeting, I forgot to have this in writing for you, and Rep. McFarland reminded me almost before the bang of the gavel. And I did just about an hour and a half ago make this presentation to the bonding committee with these priorities. And so the staff is now passing it around, and you can see for yourself. But number one was the Faribault student housing. Number two, Red Lake. And tied for third were the two environmental projects of Representative Fox and also at the State Academy.
Members, any questions or comments for Representative Allen? Seeing none, meeting of the K-12 Finance Committee is adjourned.